Go ahead, ushers. Well, this morning, Pastor John has a great message that we all need to catch in our hearts. It's about how do we move on to the point of becoming a Christian. How do we then begin to walk in our life? I don't know about you, but even though I've become a Christian, there are many times that I still struggle with sin, temptation. Sometimes you struggle within your thoughts, and you go through maybe almost like a personal conversation that you have with sin as you fight against it. If you can relate with that, take a listen to this.
Sin, you are not my friend.
Oh,
no, you are not my friend. In and out of my life, time and time again, it starts out small. A whisper, a wink, a grin. Younger than age 10. That should have been yours. You could have had that. That would have been you. Just say it. Take it. Do it. And there I am, in trouble again. You're confusing, convincing, compromising me. I failed you. I hate you. I'm not you. I can't. No, don't push me.
What can wash away my sin?
No, you are not my friend. How can I begin? How can I be again? Be confident, be kind, be sane in my mind, not deluded, contorted, my soul polluted.
What can make?
No, I can't give you one more chance. Look at my circumstance. It's you that put me there, down on my knees, pulling out my hair, crying out for help. And then you have the nerve to just leave me there, abandoned and alone. You don't care for me. No, you don't care for me. Just let me be. Please let me be.
For my cleansing.
What on earth can set me free? Restore my soul, make me whole, conquer all.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
I met somebody new. Yeah, you heard correctly. I met somebody new, a true friend, through and through. He laid down and cried with me, even said he would die for me. He is the way, the truth, and the life for me.
No. The life for me.
No, you are not my friend. No more whispering in my ear. No more playing on my fears. No more grinning from ear to ear. It's over. I'm not following you no more. I'm following him instead. You see, his words are like love letters. Mm-hmm. I can hear them in my head. Mm-hmm. Amanda, keep your eyes on things above. The Spirit will descend like a dove. Cast all your cares upon me. The truth will set you free. This is the way to be. This is the way to be. His love is a gift. It's not alone. What a shift
is here
from my
me.
Plans to God's plans. You see, my faith is not a crutch just to get me by, but an outstretched hand. Did you hear that? An outstretched hand. And now I know. And now I know.
And now I know. Oh, precious is the flow.
Oh, yeah.
That makes me white as snow.
Oh, yes, he does.
You see, no other found I know.
Thank you, Jesus.
Nothing nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Let's hear it. Amanda and Malama. I think after that we could probably just close with prayer, huh? Wow, that was pretty cool. But we're not going to, because I want to talk to you about something today called the newness of living in Christ. And if you would take out your notes and join me in opening with my favorite two-line prayer to ask God's blessing on this time. Would you join me? Repeat after me, Lord, speak to my heart and change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to talk to you about new stuff. Don't you just love new stuff, you know? And aren't some of the best days of your life those days when you get to go shopping for something new that's really cool, like a brand new computer or one of those flat screen TVs, you know? Or if you're into furniture, go out and buy some new furniture. Eh. Or a new car, you know? Or the very best of all, a new guitar. Yeah. But we love new stuff, and I think that's the reason game shows were so big, especially back in my day. Now, I know today they have game shows, but they seem to be more focused on, you know, win $1 million, win a bunch of cash. It's all about the money. But back in my day, the Price is Right ruled. Sara Lee Silverman, come on down. Ah! You know, and she'd come down, and they'd play some silly little game, and if things went well, tell her what she's won, Johnny. A new car. Yes, Sara Lee, you've won the 2007 Chevrolet Tahoe Sport Utility Vehicle. With its plush and leather interior, high-powered V8, on-demand four-wheel drive, the Tahoe will take up to 7 adults in quiet, luxurious comfort into areas that only a mountain goat can access. Yes, the Chevy Tahoe, built like a rock. Retail value, $56,000. Sara Lee, it's all yours from the General Motors Corporation, and the Price is Right. But you know. And what was the sound the studio audience made every time Johnny said, a new car?
Ooh.
Yeah. You were there, I can tell. But what's so great about new stuff? Well, with innovation and technologies these days, the new product is probably vastly improved over the old one. Did anybody here wind up with an iPhone on Friday? Anybody? Anybody? Man, those are the coolest things. I just for fun, I checked eBay on Friday night real late, and there were like three or four on there. One was for $10,000. You know what I mean? But these things are amazing. They do just about everything, and if you read the manual really good, you find out there is a special sequence of buttons you can press. It'll do your laundry. It's absolutely amazing. But I think the bottom line for most of us is this. You ever notice that new things just get beat up living normal life? They just do. They get beat up. Like my cell phone, for instance. This little puppy was new once, you know? And I was so excited when I got it because it has a camera in it. It was the first phone I had with a camera. Smile. Oh, nice. Thank you. But yeah, problem was I started to use it, you know? And the first thing that happens is you get sort of that crusty, oily ear oil on it, you know? And that'll clean up. But then you use it more and more, and if you're a little bit clumsy like me, what happens is you drop. Oh, don't you hate it when that happens, you know? And because it's a little bit fatter than some of the newer phones, I started wearing it on this little holster, clippy holster thing right here. But see, I got this little roly bulge thing here. And sometimes, you know, just it would just pop out at the most inopportune times and go skidding across the asphalt or this concrete, and ooh, that's going to leave a mark, you know. And so it would. Then one day I was at the church office. I was talking to someone leaning up against the door because I am cool. But I didn't realize that the screen of the cell phone was up against the doorknob, and all of a sudden I hear, crack. And it got all cracked. And before too long, my new cell phone was all beat up and old, and I couldn't wait to get what? A new one. Yeah, a new one. Because we love new stuff. Now, before I drop it again, I'm going to get rid of this. That was good. But that's what happens. Life just beats stuff up. It beats up cell phones. It beats up laptops. It beats up cars. And you know what? It beats up lives, too. How many of you feel a little dinged up, worn out, beat up by life lately, you know? Whoa, hands all over the place. Because that's the way life is. But you know what? There is one thing that life can't touch. It can't wear it out, can't beat it up. You know what it is? It's the new supernatural life of Christ that God places in each one who comes and receives Jesus as their Savior. What I'm saying is, if you're a Christian today, that life of Jesus is in you. And life can't touch it. The devil can't touch it. Nothing can. But the problem for many of us is that we've got this brand new life in us, but it seems to be so well hidden, so deeply hidden, that nobody knows it's there, including us most of the time. And so what we do is we wind up living according to the way we've always been. You know? So we may be Christian now, and we may go to church on the weekends. Maybe our language is a little better than it used to be. Maybe our behavior is not as destructive as it was, but deep down inside, deep down, it's pretty much the same old, same old. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The same doubts and fears, same insecurities, same personal issues, they're still there. What's wrong? It's like we won the brand new car, but we forgot where it's parked. And so we're still driving the old junk-a-lunk-a one, you know? Excuse the technical terminology. But I believe God wants me to share a scripture with you today that could absolutely rock your world and change your life and put you smack dab on the receiving end of God's promises. It's right at the top of your notes. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. Would you read it with me? Ready? Go. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Family, this may be one of the most incredible verses in the entire Bible. It's saying that if anyone becomes a Christian, anyone, that would include you, you know, if anyone becomes a Christian, he is immediately and completely remade by God himself into a brand new creation. And the key words there are new and creation. In the original Greek, that word new literally means like new, you know, like fresh, mint condition, like something sealed in plastic in a sealed box that nothing has ever touched or harmed before. And that word creation means the work of God's hands. That's what you are. A brand new, untouched, undirtied work of God's hands. It's sort of the picture of what happens to a green, crawly caterpillar with all the spikes, ugly thing, you know, when it's transformed into a beautiful flying butterfly. Nothing about the first one is similar to the second one. It's a complete transformation. And that's what happens to you when you receive Jesus Christ. The verse says you become a brand new creation, or a new creature is what the New American says. The old has passed away. All the stuff of the past, all of your mistakes and failures, past and gone. All of the mistakes and failures and harm that others have done to you, past and gone. All of the disappointments and discouragements and tragedies of life, they've passed away, gone, dead, and done. And then the word in the verse is behold. It means look, pay careful attention. This is so important. Says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things. How many things? All things. All things have become new. This is so important. Why? Because most of us don't see that the new has come, or we don't remember that the new has come. So what do? Again, we revert back to the old life, our old default mode, our own way, our old ways. So here's the question. Is the verse we just read really the word of God? Yes, it is. Is it true? Yes, it is. Then it's true for you. It is. But you might say, but my life doesn't experience that. Well, let me tell you something. Our experience cannot determine whether the Word of God is true. We have to take the Word of God as true, and then if our life doesn't measure up, we have to say, God, why doesn't my life measure up? And help it to measure up to the truth of your Word. That's what we have to do. But if you don't see it, you don't feel it, it doesn't matter. It is true for you. See, the problem is the enemy works so hard to keep us from accessing this new creation truth of God. And he whispers in our ears all the time, nothing has changed in you and nothing ever will. You're still the same flawed, hopeless, worthless person you've always been. You'll never overcome those nasty sins and faults. And so God could never really love you. Anybody ever had that conversation with the devil? Yeah. You know? Well, let me tell you, he worked so hard on those lies. Why? Because the revelation of the new creation is a truth that changes everything and really messes up the devil's plans to control, exploit, and destroy your life. And what I'm praying today is that when you leave creation that God says I am, that you'll know that truth, and that truth will set you free. That's my prayer for you. So what is this new creation? What's it look like? Today we're going to look at three major aspects of it. Three things about who you are and what you have that will jumpstart you into a brand new life that's already yours anyway. And the first is this. Being a new creation means, number one in your notes, I am a new person. I am a new person. Would you read that scripture from Ephesians with me? Ready? Go. Throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature because you are a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. Anybody here ever long for a new beginning, like a fresh start for your life? Yeah? Well, you know, whenever I think of new beginnings, you know what I think of? It's really kind of touching. I think of video games. Yeah. Video games. And you know what I believe is the biggest subconscious drawing factor of video games? It's this, that in video games, you can pretty much do whatever you want. You can do the most dangerous and exciting things. And here it is, you really don't have to pay for your mistakes. Except with maybe the frustration that you put on yourself. Oh, I can't try. You know, but you really don't have to pay for your mistakes. But think of this. How many people do you think would really be into video games if, like, when you died in the game, you really died? You know? Oh! You know? The industry would not be the thriving one it is if that was the case. No, you make a mistake in a video game, your man dies, it's no big deal. You just press the reset button, and what? You get a brand new beginning. And now they even have memory cards that you can put in there, and it will even save your progress up until the point you died. And so you can have a brand new beginning from there instead of having to go all the way back. And you know what? You can have as many brand new beginnings as you need until you get it right. Whoa, did you hear that? As many new beginnings as you need until you get it right. Wow, I think God thought of that before Nintendo. Yeah, because that's what he offers you. You know, there's a cry inside all of us, you know, if I could only start over, it would be different. Because you know why? In this life, we do pay for our mistakes, and usually we pay dearly. And sometimes we pay for the rest of our lives, and we get imprisoned in that hopeless place. But then comes God, who so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes on him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life, so that the old would be passed away, and they'd become a new creation, and all things would become new. Yes, there is a restart button for your life. And that's true for those of you who might be here who have never made a commitment to Jesus, and for those of you who have. You know, it says in Lamentations 3 this. It says, this I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. You can have a brand new beginning every day in the Lord. No, as a matter of fact, any moment you need it, because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, and he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Complete forgiveness and cleansing from all unrighteousness, and all means all, is available to you every moment if you just go to him and confess your sins. So it's true, you can have as many new beginnings as you need to get it right. And you know what? All these new beginnings, they are really just going back to that one new beginning that happens when you receive Jesus. Because when he makes a new creation, he doesn't fool around. A businessman I know told me a story about a warehouse property he was selling. And this building had been empty for a long time, and it needed a lot of repairs. Vandals had actually broken down the doors. They'd smashed the windows. They'd trash the interior. So as my friend showed the property to a prospective buyer, he said, "Don't worry, you know, I will fix this place up. I'll paint the inside, we'll fix the doors, we'll fix the windows. We'll get this place cleaned up for you, don't worry." You know what the buyer told him? "Don't even worry about it, because when I buy this property, I'm just going to tear it down. I'm going to build something completely new, completely different, much, much better. I don't want the building, I just want the site." You know what, family? That's what God wants with you. We got to stop trying so hard to fix our old life, because you know what? God just wants to tear it down and get it out. Amen? He wants to build something brand new, wonderful, better than you ever dreamed. All he wants is your sight and your permission to build, and he'll take care of the rest. Yeah, what God does to us is sort of like that extreme makeover we got to experience a few weeks ago here at New Hope. One of our families was chosen for the extreme makeover. And I don't know, I had never seen the show before. Yeah, I live under a rock, it's true. But I, you know, I thought they would go into this house and that they would just fix it up so nice for these people. But I had no idea until I saw the film where they back up this giant backhoe, they put the thing on top of the house, and they just tore that puppy down. They just destroyed the old house. And then within a week's time, they built a brand new, specifically and wonderfully designed house for that family. It was the most amazing thing, but it's a beautiful picture of what God does to each and every one who becomes a new creation when they receive Jesus. A new person. That's you if you know Jesus. And you as a new creation, this is who you are. You are specifically chosen. You are forgiven. You are cleansed of all your sins. You are adopted as a full-fledged child. And you are completely loved, cherished, protected, provided for. And you are being built up and trained for great things all by God himself. I mean, I don't even have time to begin to tell you who you are and what you are because of Jesus Christ. But that's why we have the Bible. You need to be in that Bible every day so he can tell you and teach you himself. But there are a few more treasures I want to share before we end today. Question is, I want to ask you first is, when you look at your life, would you consider it more A, a breeze, or B, more of a struggle? A or B? B. We got a lot of B's out there. Yeah, you feel like it's a struggle just to get by the day, you know, get through and survive the day, not just financially, but emotionally, physically, spiritually. Do you often feel weak and overwhelmed by life and just like everything can be too much? And have any of you ever said or thought this recently? I can't do this anymore. Yeah? Well, those feelings and responses are understandable because life really is tough. But you know what? That is not how it's supposed to be for a child of God. Here's another one of the all things that you have because you're a new creation. Number two in your notes. I have new power. I have new power. How many of you could use some new power in your life about now? Well, we're going to go find it here. Would you read that next scripture with me? Acts 1:8. Wait for me. I had to catch my breath here. Ready, go. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Jesus goes on to say, basically, you'll have that power wherever you go, whatever you do. Yes, you do have new power in the Holy Spirit who is in you, but you may read Acts 1:8 and go, well, it looks like it's just the power to tell other people about Jesus. And that's great. But what about the power I need to keep my kids from driving me crazy? Or the power I need to continually forgive my husband because he's just so irritating all the time? You know, or the power I need to handle the stress at work? Or the power I need to do a good job at work so I can keep my job? Or the power I need to do that and everything else in my life? Where is that power? Well, just take a look at that verse again. Look a little deeper. Because Jesus doesn't say you're going to receive power so that you can witness. He says you will receive power so that you can be or become my witness. So that you can be or become someone who really knows me, who has been transformed by my love and power, whose life is a credible demonstration of me. And if you are that, you have all the power you need for all the other areas of life. All of his power is contained in that power of the Holy Spirit that you have. What's that power look like? Listen very carefully. At the very least, it is the power to successfully navigate all the circumstances in your life. to not be controlled by them, to not be overwhelmed by them, but to walk through them with him into his guaranteed good and perfect plan. That's the kind of power you have. So when you are hurt, you got to know the power of God is in you to forgive. Do you automatically forgive? No, you don't. It's your choice, but you got to know that power is in you. And when you get so mad that you want to say all these bad words and hit things and break things and just be an animal, when you get like that, you got to know that God's power is in you to calm your heart and your mind. God's power is in you to take over your mouth and speak peace into the situation. Will you automatically do it? Uh-uh. It's a choice you have to make, but you got to know that power is there. And when you get really bad news and the fear just wants to sweep you away, you got to know the power God has in you to give you hope and peace and joy in the midst of that storm and transform you to the point where you can be an encouragement and a support to people who aren't doing so well. And when temptation comes charging up to you and the opportunity and the desire for sin is just right on top of you, God's power is in you to get up and walk away. It really is. It's the power to overcome sin and bondage. It's the power to overcome the enemy of your souls. And most of all, it's the power to love God and people through it all. You know, I don't know about you, but to me that seems like it could really improve the quality of life for myself and everybody connected to me. And it's all available to you. But you, again, you may be thinking, well, if it's mine, where is it? Because I don't see it anywhere. Well, it's kind of like this. I heard a story once about a farmer and his family in Texas, southern Texas, and they were driven to poverty because the farm wasn't producing for them. The climate was changing. There were more and worse droughts. The soil was completely depleted of all the nutrients. Nothing much was growing anymore, and the farm seemed more like a wasteland than it did a farm. The farmer took out all the mortgage he could get on it just to try to keep it running because it had been in his family for generations. But finally, he had to sell off almost all of his precious farm equipment just to keep his family fed. And that money was running out. So in debt and desperation, he finally put the farm on the market with hardly any hope that anybody would want to buy it. But one day, a young man drove up, said he'd like to look at the farm, took a really quick look at it, took a few soil samples, put them in little glass jars, thanked the farmer, and left. But the next day, he called the farmer back, said, "Sir, I'd like to buy your property, and I'll give you the asking price." The farmer was stunned. He was amazed. He gladly accepted the offer because he would have accepted so much less. But now he would have enough money to pay off his debt and to, a little left over to help them to move and give them some time to find a home and a new job. So he was very happy. The transaction was completed. The farmer and his family moved away. The young man came in, took down all of the buildings on the property, just flattened them, then brought in all these trucks and heavy equipment, and then the work began. They started drilling. And it wasn't long before what the young man suspected was found to be true. They struck oil, lots of oil. In fact, it would be discovered that that depleted, dead farm sat on top of one of the largest and richest oil fields ever discovered in the United States. And overnight, that young man became a multi-billionaire. Great for him, but just think how tragic it is for the poor farmer and his family who lived on and actually owned a treasure beyond their wildest dreams, but they lived in poverty and failure. Why? Because they didn't know what they had. It's tragic. But you know what, family? It's even more tragic for a Christian to have the priceless treasure of the Holy Spirit and all his power and then wind up living lives of struggle, weakness, defeat, and spiritual poverty. Why? Because we don't know what's in there. We don't know what we have. Hopefully, we're beginning to get a glimpse of it and begin to understand what it's worth. Because you know what? Bottom line, if you know the treasure is down there, and if you have an idea of what it's worth, you're going to go after it, right? It's yours. You're going to go after it. And I'm going to encourage you to do that today, to do whatever it takes to find what God has given you. And I'm going to help you with that in a little while. We'll talk about that in a moment. But let's move on. Let's get to that next blank in your notes. What else is new about you as a new creation? Number 3 in your notes, I have a new purpose for my life. A new purpose. Yes, you're a new person with new power and a new purpose, okay? What's that new purpose? Well, first I'm going to tell you what the old purpose is, okay? I messed that line up really bad. First, I'm going to tell you what it's not. It's not the old purpose. Ha! Okay, that's good. So what is the old purpose, you ask me? I'll tell you what it is. The old purpose is taking care of me, okay? That's our purpose for almost everybody. Whether people will admit it or not, that is everybody's default mode. Almost all of the thinking and decisions we make are based on taking care of me, and yes, sometimes maybe even my family, but really that's really ultimately about me, aren't they, you know? So that's what the old purpose is, taking care of me. It's so true, and it's so true that I was inspired to write a song about it because I'm just that kind of artist. I create things about the truth, you know? So I wrote a song. Would you like to hear it? Thank you. Thank you very much. It's called The Me Song, and it goes a little like this. Me, 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 me. You know, it's a song. It's a song we love to sing as we go through life because it's all about me. And we grow up, and then what happens is we meet that special someone, and we get married. You know what most couples are singing in their hearts during their wedding ceremony? Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. And then we have kids. And those kids grow up and they get involved in activities, maybe sports. Like my son Justin, who is the bass player here, he got involved in baseball about age 7. He became a great player, played through high school, you know, but I got to experience youth sports. And we all know youth sports is all about the kids. It's about the kids. Yeah, right. Have you ever seen the parents in the stands? It is ugly. I tell you, my wife used to have to shoot me with a tranquilizer dart about every game because I'd be just going, no, no. And she'd go, John, John. It was really embarrassing, you know. But here's the thing. Youth sports is all about the kids. But if it's your kid out there and he's playing baseball, the song becomes me. Me, 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 me. I could go on and on, but you're kind of getting the picture, aren't you? Here's the deal. You will never find that new creation life as long as your purpose is taking care of me. You know? That's the old purpose. So what's the new purpose? Let's read that verse together under number 3. It immediately follows our verse for today about the new creation. It's 2 Corinthians 5:18. Ready? Go. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Each one of us, we have a new purpose, a new job, a new ministry. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We are his official representatives wherever we go on this earth. And we carry with us all of the power and authority and backing of the kingdom we represent, the kingdom of God. This, your job, it's a high-powered, classy job. Congratulations on your promotion. Well done. But you know what? It's a ministry as well. It's an incredible ministry because through demonstrating the real Jesus in our lives, his real love, his real power, and serving people around us, our ministry is to rescue some of them from the miserable life they might be in, and to rescue them from eternal death and destruction by helping them to become reconciled to their Father God who loves them. It's a great ministry. And so when we're at work or school, we have a new purpose. Not about me anymore. We are to represent Christ and his kingdom at work and at school, wherever we might be. And when we're at home, it doesn't change. We have the same purpose. And we are to represent him and to bring his love, peace, and healing into our families. And when we're at our kids' sporting events, we got to remember it's not about me anymore, but we represent the Lord of love and grace and mercy who wants to reconcile all those people at that game to himself, even that blind umpire who's got the wrong angle and he can't see that your kid was saved when he called him out. God wants to save him too, okay? Yes, we are Christ's ambassadors. And we have a purpose. And you know what? It's an exciting life, eternal life or death purpose. And there's no better purpose. There's no more life more worthwhile than that. So you're a new person with new power and a new purpose. Yeah, it sounds great, but why is it still so hidden? Why is it hard to find? How can I access it? Well, we're going to talk about that as we close. But why don't you fill in that last blank, number 4 in your notes. Here's the answer. I must go to God for a new perspective. Have you guys ever seen when Pastor Elwin does his cooking show? Isn't that great? Don't you just love that, you know? Well, I have always wanted to do something like that. I tell you, I have always wanted to do that because he is just so cool when he does that, you know? And the only thing I'm really missing here is the apron, you know, but yeah, I've always wanted to do. Pastor Owen cooks up some of the best looking stuff and it smells great, and I've always wanted to do that. It's only one problem. I can't cook. But I do have my gifts, and there are things I can do, and so we're going to prepare a little something today. I think you're going to enjoy it. Let me just open the old recipe book and see what it is. Okay. First, the ingredients. We're going to start off with about a half a pound of finely sifted southern Oahu dirt. About 3/4 of a cup of island water, volcanically filtered. Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to slowly pour the water into the dirt, stirring evenly, okay? And you want to continue stirring evenly because we're making something very special. It's called mud. You want to stir evenly because we're not making lumpy dirt, okay? We're making really nice mud here. And you want to stir it up nice and not get it too watery. It's not chocolate water. It's mud we're making. So you stir way down, get it all mixed up very nice. You can try this at home, but I encourage you to have child supervision at all times. And remember just to keep stirring because it won't stir itself. Okay. There we go. This is getting really good. Really good. Just a little bit more water. I think that'll do it. And there we go. Get a nice shot of that. That is nice mud. And that's what we're going for. Because this is New Hope. This is a classy place. You know, we are. Okay, maybe just a little bit more. I'm sorry. But, you know, if you're going to do something, do it right. Okay, so I'm told children will actually eat this. But you might be wondering why I'm doing this. Well, actually, I want to give you a visual aid for what we've been talking about. And would you look at your notes and read Psalm 40, verses 1 and 2 with me? Ready? Go. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Yeah, see that part? He brought me out of the horrible pit and the miry clay. Right here. You know, I want to give you a visual aid because this well represents the kind of life we can get stuck in sometimes. And here we are, nice, clean Christian man. Say hi. All he wants to do is follow God. All he wants to do is be a good Christian man. But you know, life can get dirty and it can get ugly and it can get messy. And no matter how good our intentions sometimes, we can just fall right into it, you know? We just fall into it. It could be sin, but maybe it's just getting too busy, getting your priorities out of work, out of whack, or a wrong decision, but we can just fall into it. Now, what's interesting here is the nature of life and the nature of mud are very similar. They can be both slippery and sticky at the same time. How? I have no idea. But it does. So the nature of mud is that it kind of attaches itself to you. You know? It just gloms right on there. And the more you get into it, the more you walk around it, the more the muck of life completely covers you. Mud plus yuck equals muck. It's a technical term. Okay? And what happens, it this muck of life can actually cover you. It can just get into you. It can get all over you. And so what happens when you're in this place is you'll notice, where's his mouth? Well, you can't see it because it's covered with muck. It's actually filled with muck. And so when you're in that place and you speak, all that comes out is muck. Say it with feeling. Muck. Yeah. There you go. And so everything that comes out of his mouth is ugly, unedifying, negative stuff, you know. And let me tell you, when God created man, he said, let us make man in our image. And he gave man the power of the tongue to have a creative aspect to it. So if you're out there speaking muck, guess what? You are creating muck all around you. It'll be a muck-filled world unless we learn how to get out of this thing. You'll also notice, where is his eyes? You can't see his eyes because they're covered with? Yeah, absolutely. And when he looks out, all he sees is? And it's terrible because everything looks bad. Everything is ugly. Everything is wrong. And so he's looking at this stuff, and then he sees it, and then he starts speaking out more muck because it's complain, complain, grumble, grumble, grumble. Everything's horrible. That's just the way it is with muck. And then his ears are filled with muck, so all he hears is muck. Absolutely. You know, and so when he hears something, it gets twisted and distorted by the muck of his insecurities and his hurts and his failures. And so maybe somebody comes along and says, hi, how you doing? Good morning. But through the muck, all he hears is, you're an idiot. I don't even want to talk to you. Get away from me. It's not the person. It's the muck. But he responds to what he heard. Fine. Be like that. And a relationship is destroyed and goes down the tubes, and the enemy laughs all the way because he's the lord of the muck. There's another problem with muck. Because, like we said, it's not only sticky, it's slippery. Anybody ever fall in the mud, slip and fall? Oh, isn't that just the worst? It's just horrible, you know? But that is what makes mud wrestling so entertaining, isn't it? You know? I tell you what, I'm so glad that Pastor Elwin finally quit that over 50s mud wrestling league. You know, isn't that an image you're just going to have a hard time getting rid of? But anyway, because the slipperiness of the mud and muck, although our boy Larry here really wants to get out, he can't because he climbs, he gets up to the, oh, and he slips back down. The fact of the matter is, family, you cannot get yourself out of the muck. So what's going to happen? And while you're in there, you have, all you can see is muck. You don't have a perspective that you can see that new creation. You'll never see it while you're in there. So what's going to happen? Well, let's look at that passage again, Psalm 40. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. And that word wait there is a very odd word in the Hebrew. The term is a rope maker's term. Picture a piece of rope. The word means to bind together by twisting. That's what it means, okay? And so what he's saying there is not, I waited for the Lord, like, okay, Lord, whenever, you know. No, what he's saying is, no, I bound myself to the Lord. I went into his presence. I tied myself to him. I said, I'm staying here. And then it says, he inclined to me. He heard my cry, and he took me out of the horrible pit. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my steps. When we cry out to the Lord and run to him in our hearts, he will bring us out. But you know what the word also says in Ezekiel 36? God speaking, and he says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. And I will wash you of all your filthiness and all your idols. Some need more than others. But let me tell you something. Our God is able to do it. That is how we get out of the pit, to get the right perspective, so that we can become what he designed us to be from the very beginning. The new creation in his image, for whom the old is passed away and all things have become new. Family, underneath your muck is a new person with new power and a new purpose. Are you ready to call out to him that he can take you out of that pit, cleanse you off, set you on the rock so that you can be able to see who you are and begin to walk in the truth, a new creation? Are you ready? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. If you would just bow your heads, I just want to ask something. If there's someone here who has never made a commitment to Jesus, who's never accepted him into their lives, who's never said, I want you, Lord, you might today realize it's your day. And you might say, I want to get out of the muck. And I want a brand new beginning for my life. And I want to be a new creation. I want to get rid of that old stuff. And for all things to be new for me. If that's you, if you'd all just bow your heads. If that's you, would you just let the Lord know by raising your hand and just acknowledging, yes, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I need. I want to start all over again. Thank you. Anybody else? This is your day. This is an opportunity to begin fresh and new again. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to pray for you in a moment, but let me just address the rest of us. Is it the cry of your heart? Did God speak something to you today? That it's time to call out to him, to get out of the muck, and to move on with the reality of what he's created us for. To stop letting the old things hold us back, but to press forward into the brand new creation he's made us to be. It is awesome. It's a treasure. It's priceless. And it's time that we did everything it takes to be that. If that's you, I just want to pray for you right now. Lord, I pray for each and every one here, including myself, that today would be the day that we say, Lord, pull us out of this muck. Lord, pull us out, wash us with your clean water, make us clean, set our feet on the rock of Jesus, which never moves, and help us to walk forward with you into the reality of your truth, not the lies of the devil anymore, but your truth, that we are a brand new creation, that we have the power of God, we're a new person, and we got a purpose that we got to get busy about in your power. Help us, Lord, to do this. Make today a day of permanent and lasting change that we will never be the same again. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And for the rest of you who've prayed to receive Christ and raise your hands, can all of us pray this prayer with them? Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I give you my life. Make me that new creation. Cause me to be born again as a child of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the power I need. Take control of my life and make me the person you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you thank God and celebrate the people who've received them today? And if you're one of them, if you're one of them today, you are a new creation. And we want to celebrate that by giving you the gift of a yes pack outside. It's got a Bible in it. It's got lots of information in it. It will be a great help to you to find your way into the kingdom of God and the reality of the new creation. God bless you guys.
Let's all stand.
Make this your prayer to him.
Take my mind, transform it.
Take my will,
take my will, conform it to yours, to yours.
Oh, hear the cry of our hearts, Lord.
Take my
God, go walk as a new creation in Jesus.